just being there for the people at the end of the day. We're in the service industry, whether you realize it or not. I'm in service. My whole career has been in service of others.
Right.
But the difference now is I'm servicing others on my terms, not on other people's terms. And I can actually just pat myself on the back and not look for somebody else to give me the validation that I already can see from within myself.
Hey, what's going on, everybody? This is Gene Alert.
This is Colbert.
And today we have a very special guest. Today's episode is with
Dane Castillo of Stock Steady Supply Cosmetics.
And listen, if you're a 9-to-5er and you want to talk about getting into entrepreneurship, owning your own business, this is the episode. This guy took the leap of faith in... like 2 years ago, made a decision to change his life. So tune in right now.
We are amazing because our passion is limitless and our drive is intense. Therefore, you will not deny our grind. You are now listening to the Faith, Grind, and Inspire podcast.
Welcome back to another great episode of Faith, Grind, Inspire podcast. I'm your host, Gene Alert.
I'm your co-host, Colbert Alchemist.
And today... we have a good friend of ours, a great supporter of the show, also a childhood friend, right? And the owner of a product that I actually use every single day. If you guys follow me on Instagram, you guys always see me talk about Stock Steady Cosmetics. People always ask me, yo, what do you put on your face? They always ask me that question, you know, and during the summertime, this past summer, I wasn't getting bit by mosquitoes. So my neighbors was like, you're not getting bit. And I was like, yeah, because I got this product on. They're like, what? And I used to go inside and give them some product to put on. And then if you've been to my house during the summer, you know that you probably tasted either his burgers, his burgers, his hot dogs, shock.
Yeah.
Some kind of food. If it came from that grill, it came from this man.
Wow.
So my man, Dane Castillo. What's up, man?
Hey, what's going on, guys?
How you doing, man? Thanks for coming on.
Absolutely, Colbert.
See, and
good
we're
see
and,
you.
And we're
you
know, practicing yes. social distancing.
Yeah, yes, we are.
All right?
Always.
Absolutely.
So, being safe out there.
Absolutely.
So welcome on, man.
Thank you for having me.
You know, so it's interesting. Well, we'll get into the journey, but
sure.
Tell us who you are, your background, where you're from. All
sure.
That
so my name is Dane Castillo. I am the creative director and founder of a melanin skincare based brand called Stock Steady Supply Co. Co. for cosmetics. I'm originally from Deer Park, New York, in Long Island.
Nice.
So Long Island raised me, but I definitely have to say that Brooklyn made me a man.
Mm.
So I've been a Brooklyn resident for the last 15 years. Lived in different areas from East Flatbush to Midwood to Prospect Lefferts Gardens. And really loved my time here. Really got me to the level that I'm at, and I'm looking forward to the future.
Mm. All right, that's cool, man. So what got you into this world?
This realm of cosmetics and men's grooming and everything like that. To be honest with you, it started off in childhood. So my father was always very hands-on with his shaving and his grooming regimen. And like a lot of us growing up, like, you want to emulate your father, right?
Mm.
That's the first man you see in your life. You learn a lot of things from them. And I always wanted to be slashing on the beard bombs and aftershave lotions. He had like the canoe and the brood, and he's sitting there shaving with the straight edge, and you know, I'm trying to shave me too. So he put the like little safety on the top and rub it across my face, made me feel a little special. And then I'm like, oh, I want the aftershave too. So he's like, let me splash it on, everything like that. And I can remember that moment and what that felt like and having that connection. Also, my mom was really big into making sure that I looked presentable wherever I went, coming from a West Indian background. So going to the barbershop was definitely an experience. And, you know, if my cut wasn't right, you know, my mom would roll up in the shop and roll up on that barber.
Really?
Like, this spot right here, not cutting it. You need to tighten that up. You know, my son needs to look sharp before he steps out. So I've always been in this realm where, you know, the way that you present yourself to people is very important. So grooming was always something that I grew up with. It was instilled in me, right?
Mm.
So in my college years, I was able to have a really good experience at Sephora. And I walked in, and I was with a friend of mine at the time, and I've always loved fragrances, so that was no big deal for me. And she was shopping, and one of the consultants came over. He saw I was kind of bored, because all this makeup in the store, and I'm like, oh, I'm not wearing no makeup, and it's going to be forever. And he kind of took me to the side. I was like, yo, check these fragrances out. And I'm like, I like fragrances. So the customer experience that I had with him was something that was memorable, and I never forgot. So when I was in college, and, you know, I needed to make some money, you know, I remembered, like, okay, you know what? Let me go back to Sephora and see if they're hiring, because that's something I could do. I've always felt like if I worked in an environment that I loved, then I'd be successful. So I went in and decided to apply for a seasonal position. I ended up getting it. And what I thought would turn to something seasonal turned into a 10-year experience. Wow. You know, learning everything about the fragrances itself, the compositions, learning about the skincare. Sephora does a really good job of training their people. And not only just for, like, the sales, but for success in the future.
Yeah.
And I was there for 10 years. Decided to pursue something a little bit different. Got into logistics, learning more about e-commerce. And then the last 2 years, I decided that, you know what, I was tired of, you know, allowing somebody to determine my worth. Nobody should be determining my worth and my value. And I decided, you know what, I'm just going to go for it. Like, I have all this knowledge, you know, it's something I always enjoyed. You know, I'd already been making things for myself, you know, at home for a while. And I decided just to go for it, you know. So last year, March of 2019, I decided I was going to start doing it. So I started making the plans and started just giving things out to people. And I decided in May that I was just done with the job I was working with. And go for broke. I said, I'm going to give myself 30 days. I'm going to go out there. I'm going to go make my own website. I'm going to, you know, put together the labeling, the packaging. I'm going to figure out as I go and just go for it. And here we are.
It's so crazy, right? So I'm going to take it back, right? Because we went all the way to 2019. But so me and him went to the same high school, right? Yeah. So I was 3 years younger than him, right? And but... because I was so, I guess, advanced in math and, you know, business or whatever, they put me in a college class that they were in, right? So it was like investments, like that type of world. But when I got into class, I was like freshman.
You was a freshman, yeah.
And these guys were all seniors, right? It was like not bullying, but it was like soft bullying. It wasn't like they were trying to fight me or beat me up. But they were just like, yo, why? We're going to test this kid.
A little hazy.
A little hazy. Because they were like, yo, how you in the class of seniors? Right? Valencia, all of them were in the class, right? Yeah. And Dane was like, nah, chill. If he's here, he belong here. We don't got to haze him. We don't got to do nothing.
Absolutely.
So ever since then, I was like follow this guy around until graduation. But then years later, he's working at Sephora, right? And I went to Hofstra. We went to the Roosevelt Field, and I saw him. And I was like, yo, Dan, yo, what up? Right? Now, years later, I'm in Brooklyn. And then one day, I don't even know where I ran into you. And we just connected again somehow.
Yeah.
And then he was like, yo, Gene, can I have a meeting? Like, sit down, whatever. I was like, yeah, sure. He comes in, and he's like, look, I want to, this is the plan. Like, I have a job.
Or what I thought was the plan.
Yeah, what I thought was the plan. He was like, yo, this is what I got. Like, this is what I'm going to do. So I said, look, this is what you got to do, man. I was like, look, I'm going to give you some basic free advice as my friend, and this is what you got to do. Yep. This guy was like, all right, bet. Came back, like, maybe 3 months later. Was like, because I told him the thing that he was doing, I was like, you don't need to do it that way. Do it this way. And then he did it. And to me, it exploded, right? Because if you're an entrepreneur going full time, when you spent 12 years, 13 years, 20 years in the 9-to-5 world, the experience being an entrepreneur producing your own dollar every single day is very difficult.
Yeah.
It is.
Very difficult because you're putting in, and I give it up, you know, I give it up to all the people who transition, bro, because you work for dollars. Your hour, your time is, you see what I'm saying? But now you might work but not receive anything.
Right.
So you might do the same thing today that you did yesterday. Yesterday, you made $0. Today, you made $500 mm-hmm. doing the same thing. That's why I tell people, you have to be consistent. Mm-hmm. You have to be. What is your why?
That's a great question, and I love that question. Why? I can tell you my why and break it down to you very, very simplistically. Focus is the first one,
okay,
right?
Focus.
When I'm focused on what I'm doing, I'm very, very happy, mm-hmm. which also leads to passion. Mm-hmm. Passion leads to, you know, putting everything that you have in you into what you're actually making. So every single product that I make has a little bit of me inside of that, mm-hmm. right? So those are the first couple of things I have as far as my why. Offering, you know, value to people mm-hmm. is something that you can do in your life at any stage.
That's big.
And it's priceless. Mm-hmm. And it doesn't cost you anything. Mm-hmm. You know, we don't think about the value that we add somebody's life in just a simple gesture. Mm. It doesn't necessarily mean you have to go in your pocket and pull out of some bills right. to give somebody value. And 9 times out of 10, the value that you can think of is authentic, mm-hmm. is genuine, and it's appreciated because it comes directly from you.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
So those are some of the things that I would say are my why.
Okay.
Also offering quality products and content. I think for me and what I do, a lot of what I do right now is just really building my brand from the ground up. But I have to give people my why, and portion that comes with offering really quality content. And not saying, oh, here's my product, buy it. No. Okay. How about I give you some education mm-hmm. on the different ingredients that I'm using my product? Let me also give you health benefits,
yeah.
things that you could take and do on your own
right.
that necessarily are not tied to my brand. Mm-hmm. So that's what my why really is. And just being there for the people at the end of the day. We're in the service industry, whether you realize it or not. I'm in service. My whole career has been in service of others.
Right.
But the difference now is I'm servicing others on my terms, not on other people's terms. And I can actually just pat myself on the back and not look for somebody else to give me the validation that I already can see from within myself.
Right, right. I realize that's something big. It's something big to something that you said earlier. You said you didn't want to have someone tell you your value. But going back to what Gene said, it was a choice. So everybody has a choice. And you choose to start seeing yourself hold more value for yourself. It all starts with yourself.
It's correct.
Like mm-hmm. self-care mm-hmm. to be like, you know what? I'm worth this. I'm worth more than this. And I can do greater. But you had to get inspired from someplace. So what was that tipping point that inspired you to say, you know what? I'm ready to make a turn in the other direction?
It's actually a very personal moment. I have no problem sharing with it, you guys with it. So my father's family is from Belize. Mm. My mother's family is from Jamaica. So growing up in the type of environment that I had, I come from two farm family style children.
Yeah,
you know, my father grew up in a town of seaside, so a lot of fishing, a lot of agriculture over there on that side. My mother, the same thing, but my mother's also the youngest of 9. Mm. So she didn't have the same pressures of having to go out and till the soil like her older siblings did. She was more the academic style. But at the same time, growing up, we had a little bit of a garden in the backyard mm-hmm. where we grew, you know, tomatoes mm-hmm. and things of that nature. But a lot of times it was also do for self. So the entrepreneurial spirit was always in the air. Mm-hmm. And I also have an older brother who, you know, actually helped me along the way with that as well. Mm-hmm. Like, we also grew up in Deer Park, a town that's very suburban. Mm-hmm. There was a lot of kids growing up in the 80s and area, a lot of kids of color, mm-hmm. and we all band together by sports and different things like that. But kids would come over to your house and eat your house out. So my brother, my brother, you know, real savvy and entrepreneur at the top of the level when you think about it, mindset wise, was like, you know what? These kids are coming over to eat these food. Okay, we're going to charge them. So my brother would actually go out, my other best friend, and they would go out and they would buy pizza dough. They would buy sauce. They would buy cheese.
Wow.
And they were cooking up pizza pies. Right? So after the game, everybody's hungry. Oh, you hungry? Okay, we got the pizza. We got candy, wow. M&Ms. Oh, you want that Coke? Oh, we got the Coke. Oh, you like Sprite? Okay, we'll go get Sprite. So they were doing it off the top. Wow. So those are like the ground where it started. And I think we tend to lose that that type of thing. As we get a bit older, you know, sometimes your parents influence you and want you to go, you know, and pursue academics. See, that might get pushed to the wayside. That kind of what happened to me, but what brought me back to this and said, I'm going for broke, you know, it's gonna happen, was going to my father's country of Belize for the first time last year. Family trip. So I took my mom, I took my partner's mom and her and our daughter there, and we spent there for 2 weeks. And it was a really nice vacation. Getting away, it was the first time I was there. You know, my daughter's mom is from Belize and was born there. And was able to find, help me find a lot of my family, which is really good. So it's a strong connection there, you know what I mean? And getting down to the roots. So the trip was really more of a return. Like, you know how last year there was like return to Ghana? It was like a return to Belize for me. You know, going there first time. So I've been to Jamaica a couple of times, but I never have gone to Belize. You know, so that was my return trip. But seeing people make something out of nothing on the sides of the streets, the mountains, the plains, and happy doing it. I was like, yo, I don't have no excuse. I have no excuse. Like, some of these people are living in like little tents, some in little houses, some of them in big mansions, other things. But the common thread I was seeing was do for self. A lot of people were just doing for self. And it started with the coconut oil. I got some on the side of the road. And the texture, the smell, the essence of it was totally different than what you can find on a shelf here in the United States. And that was it. I was like, yo, I'm coming back. And yo, I'm going to do this skincare. And it's going to be based around this coconut oil. And that's where it started.
Wow, really?
That's where it started. It started with Belizean coconut oil. And it's not to say that the oil's, you know, it's just there in Belize. You can find it in the Philippines. You can find it in Puerto Rico, Dominican Republic.
It's yours.
You can find it anywhere in the Caribbean, Southeast Asia. That consistency is something that we don't have privilege to here in the United States. And that essence is what I want to build my brand off of.
I love that.
So let me ask you a question.
Sure.
Would you ever go back to a 9-to-5?
You know what? I don't know if I'd
like
actually
full time.
I don't. No, absolutely not. Absolutely not. For the simple fact that I control my destiny with that, and I think one thing that we're gonna talk about COVID, right? But I'll mention it right now. I think one thing that COVID has taught a lot of people is that it doesn't matter what level you're on. You could be a VP. You could be a CEO. You're expendable. And a lot of people in high positions found that lesson the hard way, one way or another, during COVID. And I told myself, you know what? I don't want to ever be in that position again. And I'm glad I decided to take the jump last year in May of 2019. Because in order for me to be where I'm at right now, I had to automatically and inherently socially distance myself to get the brand off the ground. Because I'm a one-man show. So I was decided to teach myself a little bit of everything. That way, when I do get to a certain level and I'm able to employ people, I know what to expect.
So you were already social distancing. It was an easy transition.
It was an easy transition. I was unconsciously preparing for the future, if you will. But I'm glad I took that step because it was necessary. So necessary.
Love it.
When you say melanin, right? Melanin skincare. What does that mean?
Okay.
For those that don't know.
Okay. So when you think about melanin, all people have melanin. Doesn't matter if you're white, black. It's just a matter of how much melanin you have in your skin. So obviously, you know, black people have the most amount of melanin in their skin. So melanin skincare to me is really the preservation of your melanin. And I use alchemy and I use aromacology to make products that help with maintaining melanin in your skin. So I know you are the alchemist. You're all about alchemy. And as you know, there are different levels to alchemy outside of just the transmutation of metals that, you know, talked about by different people in different books. You have alchemy in those realms as well. So I actually use it in the form of combining essential oils mm-hmm. in the proper dosages with carrier oils to provide not only really good skincare products, but therapeutic aromatherapy style of formulations. Mm. And all of my formulations are multi-purpose. So, for instance, my hydrating serum could be used for a face hydrator. Mm. It could be used on your hair. Mm. It controls oil. Mm. It has a natural sunblock in there, so you can use it in that form as well. Wow. You know, it could be used as a beard oil, pre-shave, post-shave, whichever way you want to use it. So that's what melanin skincare is for me. And I think it's a term that you're going to start to hear a lot more. Obviously, everybody's going to have their own interpretation, mm-hmm. but at its essence, it's really maintaining melanin in your skin.
Mm, that's major, because majority of products that you see in commercial stores are not geared towards melanated people.
They're not.
So this is, and yours is all natural. Everything is
correct. So natural, bro. Absolutely. So the ingredient that I use in my hydrating serum is called sea buckthorn berry oil. Mm. And sea buckthorn berry oil.
Where's that come from, bro?
From the earth, from the mother.
It's actually it's a plant. It's a tree.
Really? Yeah, I've never.
So you can
heard
find
that.
That in
education, people.
You can find that in Southeast Asia, really warm tropical type of climates that can actually grow the plant really well. So India, Thailand, mm-hmm. Philippines, those are some of the areas that actually grow and cultivate it. Mm-hmm. But it has a natural SPF in there. Wow. And it's something that's great for us, because our problem is we don't like using SPF. And the reason why we don't like using SPF is because it makes us look ashy. And that goes down to what? The ingredients,
yeah.
right?
Yeah.
So things like titanium dioxide, which comes from seashells, right? That's the type of thing. It's natural, but that's what gives us that ashy purple luminescence to our skin that never goes away and makes us not want to use SPF.
Understood.
So using something like sea buckthorn berry gives you that same quality of sun protection without that ashy look, and also gives you a nice glow to your skin.
Mm-hmm.
So it's all about the glow up.
Yeah.
You know, people want radiant skin. Mm-hmm. So that's why I choose to use that type of ingredient in that type of product. Mm. Make sense?
Makes sense.
Okay. So a lot of my products are all geared that way. So multi-purpose, all natural ingredients, no chemicals, and really no water unless it's really necessary.
Mm. That's incredible.
Kobe, when I tell you, I've been using, he gave me a little sample in the beginning. I was hooked, man. I told him the other day, I said, look, you might as well just create a subscription system so it's automatically, so I don't have to call you to ask. Just every couple months, man, just send it. Because
it's in the works.
Yeah, it's in the works, man. But
I need my beard oil too. I'm flying out tomorrow. I gotta make sure I get some tomorrow.
Well, this is your lucky day, because, you know, one thing I've learned from the illustrious Mr. Gene Alert is always come prepared, because you never know. So I got a little something for you. Don't worry. A little care package.
You see,
adding value. Adding value. Also, giving freely.
Mm, yes. You hear a lot of entrepreneurs, and I'm glad that you recognize that early, that you're going to have to spend, right? Now, what new entrepreneurs, what you guys need to understand, even some people who've been in the business for a while need to understand this. Number one, you're going to have to spend. You either have to spend on marketing
mm-hmm.
or you're going to have to spend money on giveaways.
Correct.
Right? So it's either you're going to pay for a Facebook ad, you're going to pay for to get your product out there, or you're going to take the money, mm-hmm. invest in your product, and give it away for free mm-hmm. to people to use mm-hmm. so that you could, number one, because that's considered a case study.
Correct.
Right? So you would pay a company like ours to find those people, but you still got to give us product
right.
for us to, so you're paying more.
Yeah.
Yeah.
So you eliminate us.
Yes.
And you go out to the clientele that you need, mm-hmm. right? And you go directly to consumer mm-hmm. and you say, look, here, 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 here. And if you give it to the right people, such like me or my mom, right?
Shout out to Mama Jean.
Yo, the reason why I shout out to my mom is because I told Dane, Dane was like, oh, that's where you get it from. Like, that's where
he went to the source.
Yeah.
Yo, I hooked him up to the source, bro.
Man, it was like going to see the Oracle. Don't lie. Yeah, literally, I went and saw her. You know what I mean? Gave her the value. They're off a little sub. Phone been blowing up every week ever since. Yeah. Or tap. Like, I mean, you have dreams about Baba G.
The whole Haitian community knows about
that's it. That's like, the beauty of added value. When you got the product, good. It's worth it to give it for free because you know people are coming back and they get to meet you. They get to find out who's the one that's creating the product. Most of these products we get in the store, we're paying all this money for. You don't know.
Yeah.
And if you have add value, people are like, I have no problem paying for it ourselves. You'll be able to weed them out, the people that just want something free.
Mm-hmm.
But they'll just never
They just want something free. Yeah. Like the Groupon people. Yeah. You don't need those people.
Correct.
And you have to know who to do this with.
Target market.
Yes. You have to identify people. You have to identify your target market, right? Mm-hmm. Know who you're aiming for and know who you can add value to, because if you add value to someone who's just an opportunist, somebody who's a taker, you lose.
You do.
Yeah.
You do.
A lot of energy suckers.
A lot of energy. Yeah. What did you just say?
You got the energy suckers, or you call them energy vampires.
Yeah.
They just go for blood. They just want something to suck from you.
They look for that. They hear free. They smell you out, and they drain you. And then, but I love what you're doing, man.
Yeah.
You know, like, and the product never changed, right? The serum never changed. I haven't had a pimple. Until I started wearing that stupid mask, but you know how I feel about that, so I'm not gonna go into that. But the thing is, like, I didn't have a pimple on my face, and I was shocked. Mm. At first, I was trying to figure out, I was like, yo, I got a pimple on my face? Like, what the? It was like right here or something. And I was like, what? Then I talked to my man, he's like, yeah, you know, and this was a random conversation because I didn't bring up, because he gives me my skincare, so I didn't want to bring up, like, yo, I got a pimple, what's up with you, right? Your product ain't working.
Across your mind.
Yeah, across my mind. But then one day, God must have been like, yo, Gene, you what I was thinking? And he just randomly said, yeah, man, you know, I'm creating a new product because what people don't realize is the mask, they call it
Masconade.
Yeah, Masconade.
AKA mask acne. It encompasses eczema, seborrheic dermatitis, and even rosacea. So a lot of people are starting to notice that they're seeing that in the areas where they wear the mask. And the reason behind that is you're wearing a mask for a long time, which you're really not accustomed to till now. Bacteria. You're breathing, you're, you know, sweating, bacteria. Like, sidebar, I'm sorry, I have to say this. I run, right? And I see people running with a mask on. And honestly, it drives me insane. Because one, you're making your run harder. And two, you're breathing all that back in. And this is why people have masking. I mean, and that's not to say that this is a result of COVID, because the medical community has been dealing with this forever because they're always wearing masks. Right. So they know about it. But it's something that's now more mainstream. And that's why I had to create something that would address the masking. Okay, so the product is just called Rosewater pH Balance. And what it does is I cultivate the rosewater. And then I add a couple of different essential oils in there that will help with aromatherapy, that will help with sterilizing your mask. So any type of fabric mask that you might have, you know, we don't have the time to be washing our masks in a washing machine every single day or hand washing them. Some people don't have that bandwidth. So this allows you just to spray the mask down, let it dry, and now you're good to go. Now you're dealing with bacteria, you're getting rid of any type of virus, you're dealing with anything like that. And then from a holistic standpoint, you're also getting rid of any type of inflammation that might be on the skin. So you can use it in your mask area, you can use it on your face, you can use it on your scalp, you can use it on, like, if you have a wound, if you're just having a bad day, you're not feeling good, you could just spray in air and, you know, have your little aromatherapy session, get back to your woosah, bounce back out, you know. So again, you know, adding value, multi-purpose, and really just giving people what they need. So a lot of people get into these businesses, especially when it comes to, you know, what I do in beauty and men's grooming, right? And they just make products. They crank them out. Like, oh, you know what? Well, I saw this on the shelf. I'm going to make this. I'm going to make that. That's not really how my process works. 99% of the things that I make have come from actual clients. It's something that I'm actually filling their needs. So I'm just really finding a solution to an issue. And I think a lot of times when people think about what they want to do with themselves, when they want to step out into the entrepreneurial space, that's something that they kind of forget. They just think of something that can make money. And at the end of the day, it's not about making money. It's you know, if you're doing what you love and you're doing it right and for the right intentions, money's going to come.
Absolutely.
You know, money's a byproduct of doing things the right way.
Energy.
Yeah, energy at the end of the day. And that's another thing, too. Like, I'm a firm believer that if I'm not in the right space of mind, I'm not creating. It's like when you try and cook. If you cook and you're in a bad space, it's going to be reflective in your food. Your food's going to taste like garbage. Absolutely. I guarantee you.
Absolutely.
So I don't create if I'm not in a good mood. You know, if I'm feeling a little stressed, I gotta figure out a way to get rid of that stress. Maybe meditate, maybe go run, you know, maybe sage, whatever I need to do. And then I'll go and do it, because I've tried it and it never works. The formulation is terrible. You know what I mean? So I've trained myself to say that, you know what, I'll do it when the energy's right. And every time I do when the energy's right, the end result always works out.
Amazing. That's deep.
Love it. I love you touched on the woo side. Yeah. You know, because as entrepreneurs, you there's sleepless nights and there's going to be some emotions you got to go through, and being able to balance with family.
Absolutely.
So those are things that you, rituals you put in to maintain and find that.
Yeah. I wanted to say one other thing to add on that. You mentioned family. And I think a lot of times as entrepreneurs, we do experience that pushback from family, right?
Yes. Yeah.
And the reason why we experience that pushback is because a lot of our family have already been conditioned.
They've
been conditioned over time, and it's generational, right? Right?
Yeah.
And they come from a place of love. What it really comes down to, they don't want to see you fail, but if you don't try, you'll never really know. And let's be fair to them, be objective. It's not their responsibility to follow your dreams and support your dreams. That's your job.
Yeah,
tell them.
Okay, that's your job. So just like you want to go out there and you want to do your thing working a 9-to-5, no problem.
Yeah.
You know, good luck to you.
Mm-hmm.
Everybody has their choices.
Right.
But you also have to understand that this can be a lonely road on this path, but it doesn't necessarily have to be.
Mm.
But you also have to be strong.
Mm-hmm.
You have to be willing to really, you know, shovel your shit and get in there and realize that the only person that you really need self-affirmations from and praise from is yourself.
Wow. It's powerful.
Because when you're there and you're doing it, it eventually is going to come. You know, people will turn around, but it just doesn't happen overnight. We're just in a culture where it's instant gratification. But that's just not how good things happen. All good things take time. So just be patient with yourself. Be kind to yourself.
Be kind to yourself.
Because a lot of times in the process of doing this, you're going to run into a different roadblocks and obstacles, and you have to work your way through them. But we tend to be our harshest critics.
It's true.
So be kind to yourself as well.
That's true. That's big advice. Big advice.
So how does one, because you're 2 years in, right?
Yeah.
And so what challenges, what have you learned about yourself, about the process, during the biggest difference to you between working a full-time job and being 100% on your own? Like, what is one thing or a few things that you like, man, I didn't know about this? Or, like, what did you learn?
The greatest thing that I learned is I have way more potential than I actually thought.
Wow.
And I'll tell you why. So I decided that I was going to go for it, right? But I also decided that I was going to go and I'm still continuing to go as far as I can without having to go into debt. I think a lot of times we think that, oh, the easiest answer is to go and go get a loan, right? And yes, if you want to do that, no problems. Go ahead and do that. But I didn't find it to be necessary. I found that the things I really need to focus on was really the people that I want to touch, but also learning my craft. A lot of people want to jump into something, but they don't want to do the work. Right. And it's a lot of work. Like the manufacturing of the products is just one portion of the tree. It's one branch, mm-hmm. right? You got to learn, you know, business, and you got to learn like accounting. You got to learn marketing. You also have to learn web design. You got to learn how to tell a story. Mm. At the end of the day, like, we're storytellers, you know? So in order for me to really get my product to somebody that's really going to enjoy it and use it, because that's the other thing. You can give somebody something and they're like, oh, yeah, it's great, but doesn't mean they're necessarily going to use it and consistently use it. You have to convey a story to people, right? So I had to learn how to do all those different things. And that's why I say the learning aspect of it was the biggest aha moment. And that's one of the things I still continue to do, and I'm going to continue to do as I go. Like, learning how to create meaningful content was an experience. You know, I mix things up. So if you ever go to my page, it's not just, oh, a product. I'm doing a product on one thing. I'm giving you ingredients. I might give you opinion. I might not even say anything on a post. I might just post a picture and leave it to your interpretation. But it all has a purpose at the end of the day. And doing those things are so important, especially now, because everything's digital. You know, the days of, you know, just going out and advertising on a billboard, that's over with. People are stuck on their phones looking down. They're not looking at billboards, you know. And social media has put us in a realm where you're getting these 10-second ads really, really fast. So you have to be able to use that time very efficiently and get your message across.
Right.
Because people are not spending 2-3 minutes looking at posts anymore. You know, you might get them for 30 seconds, and you have to be able to captivate them with creative content. So I think that was really the biggest thing, you know, going through this process. And it's something that I really, really enjoy. I mean, it might not be the sexiest answer, but it's the realest answer.
It's the truth. It's your truth, which is because we've been entrepreneurs forever, right?
Correct.
So our truth is different. So, right? You learn every single day. If you don't learn every single day as an entrepreneur, you're probably not a real entrepreneur.
It's a choice.
Won't last long.
It's a choice not to see it.
And it's a choice not to see it, because that means you're not growing.
Yeah,
you're not learning. If you're not learning, I learn from you every day. One of the things I observed is that you fill the gap quick, you adapt quick, and you're open to change.
Pivot, people. The word is pivot.
Pivot.
That's it.
Yeah.
That's
it. Yeah.
Pivot. I mean, 2020, I feel like it's been a year of pivoting.
Yep.
I mean, if you're not pivoting, then you're getting kind of lost on the side. Like, good example, right? Hand sanitizer was probably the most pivoted item during COVID's, you know, peak. All these companies, from spirits to pharmaceuticals, they were losing money and fast. But what did they have? They had resources. They had space. And they started converting their facilities to hand sanitizer, to making PPE, anything that had to deal with the virus itself, and, you know, helping people get through it, pivoting all over the place. And I think it's something that's really coming to the forefront. But I also believe that guys like you, you know, the great entrepreneurs of the world, they eat, live, sleep, and breathe pivoting. It's nothing new to them.
Right.
Nothing new.
So it's an area of opportunity. So I say people will panic, but it's like you have to always see the light in the tunnel. There's always opportunity.
There's always.
But once you step into panic and fear, you're not thinking from a high level standpoint to see what's going on. You're automatically thinking about, oh, the worst case scenario, I'm going to lose this, I'm going to lose that. I'm not. It's you have to be level-headed and even killed, as our good friend Eric Adams says, to make it out here.
Yeah.
Kobe, let me ask you a question. Do you attribute that to meditation?
I think everybody to a certain
or
level
being still?
For me, yeah, meditation for me has allowed me to be more aware in the moment and give that stillness to see everything from a high level standpoint, to transcend yourself outside yourself, you know, because a lot of people they only understand their one world. So it's really one dimensional. But when you're able to do what you're naturally doing, taking yourself outside of yourself and saying, like, how can I help you? It's automatically just going to be that trickling effect. But it does take a level of awareness. And what meditation does is just really just raises your awareness consciously. You have more conscious awareness, so you're able to see everything that's going on around you, and more so say, you know, oh, I see this person, they have a taste for wine. Mm-hmm. So you know what? When I pull up, you know, all of a sudden I have a bottle of wine. And he's like, wow, you thought about that. You're just adding value to somebody because you said, how can I pay attention to you first? So it's always about service. Like I said, it's about serving first. And I come from a service world. Everything I've done, from my catering company to even, you know, being a bartender, you know, these are all about serving people's needs and making sure that you can concoct something specifically made for them. So I love what you do.
Thank you, brother.
What's the biggest hurdle, though? The biggest hurdle that you've dealt with in the past 2 years?
To be honest with you, the biggest hurdle at this particular moment, to this particular moment, is staying organized. It's a hurdle.
It's a lot. That's a tough one.
I'm be so transparent. Organization is key, but it's also the biggest hurdle. And I'll tell you exactly why. I'm a father to a beautiful 4-year-old daughter. She's precocious. She's like my everything. I try to set the best example that I can for her. And everything that I do is for her at the end of the day. But being able to stay on task with everything and have this professional life and also this personal life, and then carving out a specific personal life for my daughter is challenging.
That's a lot.
So in addition to having my own e-commerce business, you know, I'm out here in these streets. Yeah. So, you know, summer 2020, you know, when people were sitting there up in the house wondering what they was going to do, you know, I was doing pop-ups at, you know, Prospect Park, you know, had my table out.
Love that.
Socially distancing, but had my mask on. But I was making it happen. You know, I was hitting up, you know, barbershops in Queens and Brooklyn, nail salons,
grinding.
You know, offering my services to people and starting to establish new connections, because I automatically knew that was the way it was going to go, back to pivoting. So before COVID hit, you know, I started to see different movements happening. One of them was being able to have your certifications. So in order for all those shops to open back up, you had to have 3 different certifications. So what did I do? I got my certifications. Because of that, I was able to grow a little bit more, which meant that the time that I had for my daughter was going to change. So I needed to learn how to really organize a little bit better and strategize. So that way that time wasn't interrupted. Now, the fortunate thing for me was I didn't have to do it directly with her in the moment, because her mother and I decided to let her to go to Florida and see family.
Understood.
With her mother. Awesome. During the height of everything that was happening.
Right.
So they were on a plane to Florida on May 25th, Labor Day. I mean, on Memorial Day. So they also got to miss a lot of the tension that was going on here in Brooklyn. So I was very thankful for that. So it gave me basically 12 weeks to get my act in order.
And you were able to just lock in. I'll tell you, as an entrepreneur, that quiet time,
yes,
with no interruption, where you could just be in your creative space and not have to, because it does, in order to pay, once it goes, it's all energy, to pay attention to your child, and you have to be fully present. It's
absolutely
not about just being in a room. So I know that I was able, that explains a lot how you're able to just lock in, and just because when it's time to work, it's like, I'm going to war. Sometimes the kids don't need to be when you're going to war. Just keep the kids and the family so I can just put it down. So I know when you were able to lock in, that was probably very vital.
Yeah, it was vital. And not to say that it was totally locked in and, you know, isolated because me and my daughter have a really reciprocal relationship. Like, she's learning how to, you know, write her letters and everything. She could write her name. But best believe, little girl know how to call daddy when she's ready. So she got her tablet.
They definitely know.
She got her tablet. She can spell out D-A-D-D-Y real easy. And she knows how to work her tablet. So we were doing FaceTime every day. So I got I love FaceTime, not going to lie. So we were able to still keep that same rapport, but it did allow me the time to really organize myself and be able to get a little bit more situated. Also, you mentioned something about, you know, keep going to war and keeping the kids separate. I agree with that to a certain extent, but I'm also the type of dad that a lot of times, you know, there's time where it's going to be daddy time, and obviously, you know, she can't do those things. But other than that, I'm of the faith of if she can't go, we ain't going. So I will take my daughter to do certain things. Like, we went and did a business meeting at your office, and I brought my daughter. So, we ended up coming around, and they just played with themselves. We were still able to do those things. So I do believe you need to find that balance, but that organization, once again, it was really important, especially now that we're doing virtual learning. That's the next curveball that just came up, and learning how to navigate that. And that's been a little bit of a learning experience for everybody.
Every parent has a different experience. How's that? Well, is your daughter, she's going to school?
She's in pre-K.
She's pre-K.
So. And she does 100% virtual.
Okay.
And now we finally figured out the schedule that kind of works and the kind of system that works for her and her group. So, you know, she's really spending tops 35 minutes in the classroom setting virtually. And then the rest of the day, it's really her and her mother, you know what I'm saying, really being the teachers for her. You know, and it's not like really heavy work, but I'm glad I'm able to do it, because you're able to actually give yourself to your child and really invest in their learning. That's something that we probably most likely didn't have. You know, our parents were working so hard, going out there and grinding, and we were latchkey kids. Like, we don't live in a latchkey world anymore. You know, and the needs of our children are so much different. Like, like, my daughter's very affectionate, and, you know, she loves to be around me and have that energy around there, because I'm a very hands-on dad. So that's why I say that organization is so important.
Definitely.
How do you guys do it? I'm just interested. Like,
That is one thing for me. And I said, you know, moving forward, and a lot of the business partners I have, I was just like, I look for the balance. So even with me and Gene, like, he's more organized, and it's like, it's and anything great that's going to actually affect people on a larger scale is always going to need a team. So for the most part, but for me, and what I do as far as spiritual work, it really doesn't require too much, you know, organization on those realms, because it's more so a personal work with people. And but that was always a big thing, especially when you're dealing with a lot of sales and numbers, e-commerce. Like, you had those things you need, especially for tax purposes and keeping track of it. But it's one of those things where you have to wear a lot of hats, and you have to make sure you find, especially with technology, you just have to find those things that help make it a lot easier. Like, texting gas, I can make sure there's an app that keeps track of my gas. You know,
correct.
All
absolutely.
These other things that I can, you know, can take care of themselves, maintain themselves. I have to just find those things. But organization is the most important thing, especially when you're a creator. You're just very creative, and you want to focus all your energy into creation, to take yourself out of it, to not going to step into a whole nother mode where you have to, you know, do all the finances. You just have to learn to, you know, once again, recreate yourself and then start to find those partnerships where it's like, this is something that you're great at, and I can make sure that you function on this and I'm not wearing. But it's a process to get to as you start to bring other people on and be able
absolutely.
To pay a staff to overcome it. But you just have to be able to know yourself, know what you're great at, and know what you're not great at, you know. And that's a part of the process. But I'm proud of you, because I saw, you know, even when we were at the garden, that was probably one of the last few times we shot one of those over there. But seeing how far you came in that short amount of time, I mean, you look better, clearer. It's just
absolutely.
You look happier, look lighter. You could tell you're shining in your light, and that's what it's about. Is feel that feeling of owning your own and knowing it's yours, and it's something that you could pass on to your daughter, and she's seeing you. I watched my dad do this from the beginning when I was 4 years old. It's going to be one of them inspiring stories, and that's really what you do it for. And you're really our children are growing up with a different perspective to see, like, yeah, my dad, I watch him do this from ground up, so there's nothing I can't do. I can do anything. I watched him do this from a trip that inspired us together, and it's all about family. It's so much faith grinding and inspiring that's happened in your story, and this is why we do what we do, man.
Thank you, man. I really appreciate it.
Powerful stuff, man.
That's a fact, man. Two things, right? It's interesting because people who are really passionate about their business, right? I love the fact that you're passionate about your daughter and your family the same way.
Yeah.
Right? Mm-hmm. So it's like, you know, and when you put that level of energy into your business, like it's a kid, right? Mm-hmm. You treat it that way. And that's why, like, even during this whole COVID thing, because a lot of businesses, game over.
Oh, yeah.
Like, some people lost their businesses or shut down their businesses because they had no choice.
Mm-hmm.
Right, like
right.
You had a brick and mortar.
Yeah.
You couldn't make money. You created a business that was a job for yourself.
Right.
So once you stop working, just like if you furloughed 9 to 5, once you stop getting that paycheck, that's
it's
it.
Mm-hmm. It's a wrap.
Last 1 month, 2 months. Right. I was mentored by Dr. Dennis Kimbrough, and he told me years ago, always have at least. Some people, they say 3 months, 6 months, 8 months of reserve.
Mm-hmm.
So if anything happens, you're fine. Now, a lot of people don't think that way. They're like, oh, I'm going to be good. I'm good, right?
Mm-hmm.
But I went through, when I first started becoming an entrepreneur, I went through hiding my car from the repo man. Like, I went through calling and working out payment plans with the Sprint, right?
Yeah.
Paying the minimum payment arrangement.
Yeah,
right?
Yeah, payment arrangement, yeah.
Press 3 or press 4.
We all do it.
Yeah.
So
I'm
like,
still making payment arrangements. That's
every month.
Yeah, so it's like, so I went through that. I found myself in a position where once I started really making money, I put everything on the side so I could have that nest egg, right? I'm proud, man. Like, I've literally seen you be committed. You know what I'm saying? Regardless of what it is, like, you are staying the focus, bro. Like, and every day you're adding value and you're always prepared.
I wanted to say thank you to you, especially, for the way that you've actually helped me. So something that we all need to really recognize is that friendships are more important than business. True lasting ones are more important than business. So throughout this whole time, I've done different things I had to do, made certain sacrifices. And one, I never asked you for anything. And two, you never offered. And I appreciate you never offering, because if you had offered,
damn, man,
it would have taken away. It would have taken away from my process.
Oh, true.
So I say that to say to people that, you know, when you have these different relationships with your friends and everything like that, keep it friendly based, because when you try and mix those things together, that's when emotions get all caught up into it. You might not do the best decision making in the best interest of your friends. So keep your friends your friends. They can be involved in your business and helping, but they should be kept at a certain distance from a professional standpoint, because your friendships, the great ones, are lasting. And it's very hard to regain trust back from a friend when they feel like the relationship has changed.
100%.
Yeah.
So thank you for that. I have to give you your flowers.
Our friendship, so it's cool because it's like our friendship never strayed anyway. Yeah. Yeah. I have other people that's like, yo, bro, like.
Yeah. Black-owned business does not mean discount.
Yeah. Yeah.
Black-owned business.
Just because you know the entrepreneur, just because they're your friend, your best friend, like, support their business. They got to buy the product. They have to do a lot of things. They have to put time and energy. They have to do research so that you don't have to do it. So support it. What do you think that entrepreneurs should do different?
As far as?
Like, what would you like to see being done different?
Got it.
Yeah.
Okay. So I'm going to really speak to black entrepreneurs on this one.
Mm-hmm.
All right. And it's based off experiences that I've had. It's one thing to get into the space, get your business going, and offer great service. It's another thing to maintain that.
Mm.
And I think a lot of times it doesn't happen to everybody, so I don't want to generalize, but a lot of times after we get the ball rolling and we're seeing success and, you know, everything is in a good spot, we tend to lose sight of where we came from and how we have to continue to push the excellence. So our level of service should not drop when we're getting successful. And that happens a lot. And then you wonder why a brand or a business is really hot out the gate. And then over time, they just start dwindling. And then all of a sudden, people are not going there anymore. It's because you're not offering that same level of high service. So consistency in the level of service that you bring to the table is really important in maintaining that. I had experience with a company that is not able to do that, and I even offered to go back behind their counter, like, look, I'm willing to help you for free because the experience that I had with you is unacceptable. And he looked at me and said, no, thank you. And it's sad because I felt really, like, at that time, I told him straight up, you're costing me money because I'm paying you for a service and it's not ready on time. And you just are very cavalier about that. How long do you think you're going to be able to stay in business with that type of business model? So I say, I have to say, consistency in offering that service is so important because it's very hard to first get black people to support black people. Let's be honest, that's the elephant in the room. All right, I'm not going to sugarcoat it. Sometimes black people don't support our own, and we need to change that narrative. But a lot of times we lose that confidence from them because we slack as black business owners. So it's a two-way street. We have to continue to set that bar and offer that high-level service every single time to every single customer so that we can get them to say, I'm going to mess with Gene. I'm going to mess with Kobe. And I'm not going nowhere else. Because every time I go to them, I'm getting exactly what I need. And they're exceeding my expectations.
All about the experience. Yeah. It's like going back to the stories. The story is an experience.
It's an experience. It's
like when people hear your story, and you know, a couple years from now, when it's a household brand and it's all over the United States, and you're shipping all over to other countries, it's just going to be people understood. They fell in love with you,
yes,
the personality, and that's what people are looking for now. We're in an age of authenticity. We're looking for authentic, and we can smell something that has a lot of BS attached to it, and what people want, and that's why, you know, over time, like, especially when people started to get on the vibes and energy and meditation, they started seeing a value in what I brought, especially. But before, when you're two going through life, you don't realize how important, you know, being able to find that balance is in life, you know. But when you get hit with it hard and you get smacked with COVID, you're going to go through it now.
You're going to go through it.
The DM's coming in like, yo, what's I need that? I'm going through it. I can't get...
I love what you're doing with your platform. You know, I've been watching on the low, checking you out, and the Zencations and the retreats, and then just the inspirational words that you're giving in your posts. So that comes through very easy across. So yeah, absolutely.
It's alignment. With everything that you do with the product, the alchemy, that's what it's about. It's alchemy on every level, spiritual, and adding in all the natural remedies, and just going back to the roots. Like you said, it's going back to where we came from. This is essentially where we came from. We understood who we were on higher spiritual levels, and that kind of got stripped from us in the translation, and that's why we don't fell astray. But when I felt myself getting back to that natural state and how amazing I felt, I was like, oh, I want to share this with everybody else. Yeah, I got to tap into this. It's like, this is just allowing my life to be that much better. Because when I thought my life was just all entrepreneur, I would just, you know, build something up, lose interest. Build something up, lose interest. Because I wasn't getting into who I was. I was, once again, doing it because, like, I saw it was a need. Like, partying stuff was cool, you know. But I got, that no longer fulfilled me anymore. But as far as providing the service, and then seeing how much I was, once again, bringing their life up to a different level of happiness, and it's irreplaceable. It's just one of those things that's priceless. They'll remember me forever. And knowing that I can put that imprint on somebody, and then they remember, like, this is the person that helped me, I leave a happy man, and there's nothing else that's necessary. I don't even need a certain type of product. It's just leading them back to themselves. I'm just allowing them to go back to who you are. You lost yourself. You thought it was something else, and then you just getting that back to that space, and working with entrepreneurs across the board, it's all about just really finding the full totality. Because I see a lot of people that lack the spiritual aspect, and they just they burn out. They burn out, and then you see it on them. You'll see it on them, and it wears on their face because energetically they just don't feel balanced, man. So you see it in everything that you do. The glow, the energy, and all the intention, and knowing that it's just pure love and intention into every aspect of what you do, and when you put that out into the universe, you just want to get that right back. It's just natural. It's just understanding harmony and the laws of the universe, man. So I'm all for it, man. I can't wait to try my product.
Thank you. Yeah. Speaking of which, brought a little something for both you guys.
Oh, you did? Before you do that, out of Faith, Grind, Inspire, which word resonates with you? I feel like we should have threw something different. A spin on it, because he does listen to every episode.
I do.
But
I'll be honest with you. I had one answer for the longest time. For the longest time. I'm like, I don't understand these people. Like, for me, it was all about the grind. You know what I mean? Like, if you're not grinding, you ain't going to have no faith, and you ain't going to be inspiring anybody. I'll be honest. I was like, literally, that was me all the time. But I'm now happy and proud to say that my answer is actually faith.
Faith.
It's faith. It's faith. And I'm not a religious person. I'm a spiritual person.
Yeah, absolutely.
And a lot of people don't understand those differences. There's a difference. I'm very spiritual. So, you know, I'm very much aware of trusting in the universe. Mm. And, you know, what you put out into the universe is what you're really going to get back. And I had to get to the point where I had to allow myself to grind and inspire others, but I had to have the faith in myself that I could do it.
Mm. That's it.
That's what you're
jumping
about,
out on a limb, you know, last year and going for broke was all about faith.
Faith, yep.
It was all about faith. At the end of the day, I knew that I was going to make this happen one way or another. I was going to have to make certain sacrifices, go lean, do things that most people won't do, and be able to accept that and go with it. So it's definitely faith. And that faith continues to propel me to do more and to try other things and to step out of the box of just beauty and grooming and now go into the wellness piece. So that's the next evolution for the brand is wellness. So if you go on the website, you'll be able to see what we're talking about. We're not going to give you everything today.
What's the website?
The website is stocksteady.com.
Stocksteady.
Once again, it's stocksteady.com.
I love it, man. Instagram. I love it.
And it's not just a place to purchase product. There's a lot of information on there. So I use 40 different essential oils to create these formulations. And I believe in keeping things open to the public. So you can actually go there and check out blog posts that I've done and created. You can also look at the ingredients and get a little crash course on what they could do for your features and benefits in your skin. And then you'll have a better understanding of why I use certain things and certain formulations.
Okay.
Instagram too, same thing, Stocksteady?
Stocksteady.com. Very simplistic.
Yeah, Instagram.
I'm on Instagram. My Instagram is going to be Stock Steady Supply CO.
Love it.
And on to the products. So I always talk about giving freely, right? So what I did was I came and brought you guys, including Brianna, the rose water that we talked about in the beginning of the show with the pH balance to your skin. So sure. I would like for you guys to try it, love it, give the feedback.
Before you give it to us, right?
Sure.
There's one thing that I wanted to shout you out about. So allergy season, this allergy season for those who suffer from allergies, was like very tough. So he comes over with this jar. What was it?
It's actually sea moss.
It's sea moss.
Yeah, sea moss that I get. It's cultivated sea moss. I like to call it Irish moss because not every sea moss is Irish moss, but every Irish moss is sea moss. And I actually curated it. I get it from Jamaica, from Mandeville. I have a supplier there. It takes about a month to get here. And I actually curate it into a gel form. And what it does, it helps with a bunch of different things from like thyroid regulation, mucus reduction. It helps with diabetes, cardiovascular disease. It helps with weight loss management. Yes. It has 92 minerals the body needs.
Like out of 102.
Out of the 102. Yeah. So you have calcium, you have like potassium, niacin, all the things that really help with your skin, your hair, and I use that in the gel, and that's what I gave you.
Yeah.
But I also do infusions with it. So people that don't have the bandwidth to actually take it raw, I infuse it with things like pineapple or mango. Yeah. And that was part of my pivot during the summertime. I kind of made it into a juice and was offering it on the streets for juice as well. So one other thing I want to mention really quickly, our pricing is very affordable. Like bare bones. We're not really trying to break anybody's pockets. Anybody could afford what we have. Our range goes from basically from $2 to like on the high end, $65. So we got a little something for everybody. All right. And now to the grand reveal.
Ooh, yes, sir. Thank you. Thank you. Thank you.
I'd like to introduce you to the Rosewater pH balance.
Rosewater pH.
All right. So real quickly what it does. Rosewater is anti-inflammatory. It helps to take care of any type of inflammation that you might have on your skin. It could be used on your hair. It could be used on your face.
I smell the lemongrass.
There's lemongrass in there. There's the rosewort. There's lychee. There's a little bit of tea tree oil in there. There's a little bit of bergamot in there, so you're getting your aromatherapy. It's also really good for mass acne, like we were talking about in the beginning of the show. It's portable, so you can keep it right in your pocket. Sanitize your mask down days you don't have the time. And it sterilizes your mask and everything like that. So, once again, multi-purpose. It's an experience. It's definitely an experience. And it's good for everybody. Like, just think anything that you need to do as far as like pH balance with your body, it's good for that. All right. So it's also a personal care item.
Wow.
Thank you, man.
Thank you, guys.
Appreciate
I appreciate you guys, you know, giving me the opportunity to come on such an illustrious platform as Faith Grind Inspire. Like I said, I actually went back and listened to every single episode because the amount of information that you guys are providing is, first of all, it's free. All right. So you guys are bringing on the best of the best, people with integrity, people that have a certain level of professionalism that you can trust. And the amount of information that I was able to take from that and immediately put into the business as I was trying to grow it, I mean, I would have had to spend thousands of dollars with a consultant to get that information, and you guys are giving it away for free. So thank you guys for what you do and continue to do what you do, because this is where it's at.
Exactly. And it's cool, man, because, you know, we birthed this thing 2 years ago, right? Not realizing that it was you we were helping, right? Or people like
right.
me. But
right.
it was like, but we wanted to do this for that reason. It was because entrepreneurs need to learn and they don't have to reinvent the wheel. So learn from the community so that you don't have to go through 5 years of growing pains. You're profitable year two. You know what I'm saying? So you're not in debt. Like you're expanding.
Yeah.
So which is good, and you're able to a lot of entrepreneurs do not pivot. A lot of entrepreneurs can't they don't have the bandwidth to they want to do something different, but they can't.
That's crazy.
So guys, I need you guys to buy this product. How much is this?
That is actually a whopping $2.
$2? Wow.
That's $2. 1 ounce, $2.
Yo, guys, listen. $2.
Well, like we don't even. It won't be this price for very long.
No, it won't.
I can tell you.
It won't.
Okay.
It won't.
We do have other sizes that are a little bit more.
Yo, as your consultant, this is $5. Don't listen to him. This is $5.
I'll tell you why it's gonna stay at $2.
Wow.
Because, like the great Nino Brown once said, the first taste is free.
Mm-hmm. Yo. You're gonna keep coming back. I understand it.
I get it.
I understand it. This is profound.
Thank
man.
You, man.
Thank you, guys.
So I'm gonna say this.
Uh-huh.
I know this episode, and I see it. Someone's going to be watching this episode and be so inspired by this and they're going to literally create another great, amazing product because of your story. And it's about the story and the story and seeing it, an actual real life story, seeing the transition in 2 years. And you're set up, especially during this Corona blessing, like you're set up having an e-commerce business and things of that nature.
Mm-hmm.
They're going to be so inspired. And that's all, it's the whole reason of this show, is to be inspired by other people's stories. And I thank you, man.
Thank you, guys.
I don't give many gifts, man. So thank
you.
Yeah. Oh, no problem, man. You got to give gifts, man.
Kobe's hype. No, but you're right. You're right. People will be inspired by you, man. And the fact that you took the chance, the leap of faith, and you didn't wait for nobody to give you permission to do this.
No.
And you learn throughout the years, like having a job is not that bad because you went through
Sephora
University. Yep.
Correct.
Right? So shout out to you guys. Thank you.
Absolutely. Shout out to Sephora.
It's a paid internship.
Absolutely. Shout out to Sephora.
So thank you guys for tuning in to another great episode of Faith Grind Inspire Podcast. I appreciate you. Appreciate you for coming on, being a guest for the show.
Thank you for having me.
Thank you. Thank you, Colbert. Do you have anything coming up? November, December?
Nothing in November, December. This is a real, I'm doing a lot of certifications. I'll be going out to Mexico to take care of some things, but definitely stay tuned for 2021. A lot of good shifts are taking place. So,
okay.
Yeah.
2021 is the year.
Yes, yes.
So thank you so much for tuning in every single Wednesday. If you want to be a guest on the show and you know someone who's inspiring you, I would love to sit down. Colbert would love to sit down with you guys. Just contact us. Our email is podcast@faithgrindinspired.com. God bless and keep going no matter what.